Our reading this morning is from Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they could embalm him. Very early on Sunday morning, as the sun rose, they went to the tomb. They worried out loud to each other, "Who will roll back the stone from the tomb for us?" They looked up, saw that it had been rolled back. It was a huge stone, and walked right in. They saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed all in white. They were completely taken aback, astonished. He said, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, the one they nailed on the cross. He's been raised up. He's no longer here. You can see for yourselves that the place is empty. Now, on your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going on ahead of you to Galilee. You'll see him there exactly as he said." They got out as fast as they could, beside themselves, their heads swimming. Stunned, they said nothing to anyone.
I think I win. They left me an Easter egg on the stand. It's not often you get Peter to pray for you during church. Thank you, Brad, for being our Peter and our prayer leader this morning. Let's unite our hearts together in an attitude of prayer. Gracious God, we just thank you so much for the gift of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And so this morning, as we gather in his name, we just pray that you would open our ears, open our hearts, open our spirits, that we might be touched by your word living in and through us. All of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Easter. It's a joy to be here on this day when we celebrate that not just a historic event that happened 2,000 years ago. Certainly we do celebrate that, but more than that, we celebrate not that Jesus was alive, but that Jesus is alive. That he's here with us right here. Right now, that he continues to live with us even today in our everyday living. Can you imagine how the women felt that first Easter Sunday morning as they got up early in the morning and gathered all of their stuff and headed to the tomb in the garden? You know, we know the end of the story. They didn't. Not at that moment. At that moment, they were in terrible grief. Mark, the gospel writer, tells us that the three women, Mary, Mary, and Salome, had followed Jesus from Galilee. Now, that doesn't mean much to us, but it's a some 68-mile walk from Galilee to Jerusalem. It's a week's travel at best. And probably they were with Jesus long before they set out to follow him to Jerusalem. You know, we hear the disciples being called and they drop their nets and they go. Well, what about Mary, Mary, and Salome? They left everything behind. This wasn't what a woman in the first century was supposed to do. They did something completely out of the ordinary when they left to follow Jesus. At the cross, everybody else is gone. And Mark tells us that Mary, Mary, and Salome stayed with Jesus to the very end. When the rest scattered, when the rest went their separate ways, those three remained. And as Jesus was taken off the cross and placed in the tomb, they followed along so that they would know where he was laid. So they get up on Sunday. They couldn't do this on Saturday. Saturday was the Sabbath, and Saturday was the Passover Sabbath. So you didn't want to break any religious laws on that day, and going to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body would have been work. So they couldn't do that. They couldn't do it on Saturday. So you notice what Mark says? Very early in the morning, as soon as the sun had arisen, the minute they could, they went. The minute they could, they went to go anoint Jesus' body. And the stone is rolled away. They meet what Mark calls a young man dressed in white, presumably an angel, who tells them that he's been raised up. He's no longer here. You can see for yourselves that the place is empty. That's the central message of Easter. The grave is empty. The tomb doesn't hold Jesus any longer. He's not here. In the Gospel of Luke, the angel says, it is recorded as saying it this way, "Why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery?" Why indeed? Jesus is alive. Present tense. He is with us right here, right now. He lives and reigns in our world. You know, sometimes I think we tend to celebrate Jesus as an out there somewhere, and our role is to get out there somewhere. You know, to be good enough to get there. That Jesus is somewhere, someplace better than us, and if we're good enough, we get to go and be with Him. But that's not the story of Easter. I don't know about you, but I can relate to Peter. Do you remember the story when Peter first meets Jesus? And they're in the boat together, and Jesus performs a miracle. And you know what Peter says to Jesus in that moment? He says, "Master, leave. I'm a sinner and I can't handle this holiness. I've been there." And contrasting myself to Jesus, you think, "Oh, I felt good till I got in your presence." There's perfection, and I'm not ready for this. I'm not in that place. I don't know that I can handle all of the holiness. We know that. And quite frankly, for me, I'll just tell you, I respect people who can say that. Who can say, "You know what? I don't belong in the same room with Jesus." I understand that completely. And by the way, if you can say that, you're in good company. Remember Moses at the bush? Moses at the burning bush says, "I can't do this, God. Why have you called me?" In the book of Isaiah, God shows up in the temple and calls Isaiah to be a prophet. And Isaiah says, "But God, you can't pick me. I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among people with unclean lips. You can't pick me. You're holy and I'm not." And the story is not God saying, "Well, get holy and I'll get back to you." The story, time and time again, is God saying, "I'll go with you. I'll go with you every step of the way." That's the good news of the Easter story. "I'll go with you," says Christ. This may be an analogy that only works for me, but I'm going to try it anyway. I've been on many, many diets in my life with limited success. Some of them are painful. You can't eat things, anything that tastes anything at all. And you're supposed to exercise constantly. And when I'm on those diets, all I want is for them to be over. That's all I want. Like, let me hit my goal weight so I can eat again. And you can see they don't work when you do those things. But sometimes I think we approach our spirituality that way. It's like, I need to be perfect. Oh, there's my diet cartoon. I love that. You'll lose weight on any strict diet, mostly water from crying. I know that feeling. And sometimes we approach our spirituality that way, in that we want to be perfect. And have you ever had the bad day on the diet? You know, at lunchtime you decide to have ice cream or you decide to have cookies. And then what do we say to ourselves? "Well, the whole day's shot, might as well keep eating." That's a bad diet. But how often do we do that with our spirituality? How often do we do that with our faith? We mess up and we say, "Well, God must be mad, so I'm done. I'm not going to church. I'm not going to get in with God. I'm not going to pray. I've messed it up. And the good news of Easter is, you know what? You're not in this by yourself. You don't go it alone. You go with God. And what God is searching for is not the diet that you can't wait to get over with, but He just wants you to take another step every day. Another step closer to Him. Another step of being closer and closer with Him each and every day. And every time we mess up, we're reminded that Jesus goes with us. There's a subtle little thing in Mark's story where he simply says to tell the disciples to go to Galilee. Do you remember where I said Mary, Mary, and Salome were from? Galilee. The angel says, go home, and Jesus will meet you there. And sometimes we want Jesus only expect to see him in the big stuff, you know, Easter Sunday and in the church services and all of the big things that happen in life. But the good news is that God is with us even in the little, ordinary, normal stuff that we do each and every day. He goes with us to Galilee, goes with us to our homes, to work and to school, with our families and our friends, with our shopping and our bill paying, in our cars and in our exercising. He's with us in the special and in the mundane, through the difficult and the normal, ordinary times of life. Jesus is alive and goes with us. Just a final quick thought. The Gospel of Mark, if you see in your Bibles, and that was a slide I saw pop up before, if you could bring that one back up. In your Bibles, you might see after Mark 16, verse 8, there's a line in some Bibles that says, you know, this is the last of the earliest versions of Mark. And then there's another 11 verses or so that go afterwards that aren't in the original manuscripts, the oldest manuscripts that we have. And that's one of those things, you know, when you go to seminary, that's stuff that drives Bible scholars crazy, and they all have to explain all of this stuff. And they try and figure it out. And it's a very difficult thing to try and understand if Mark's gospel was meant to end with Mary and Mary and Salome so frightened that they don't say anything to anyone. If Mark 16:8 is the last verse, that's the last words of the Gospel of Mark. Some think a page is missing from the book. The papyrus got ripped and Mark's gospel is incomplete. But I had a seminary professor who wondered aloud this. He said, I wonder if it was a literary device. At the end of Mark's gospel, if you read it in its entirety, at the end of Mark's gospel, there's four people that know Jesus is alive. Mary, Mary, Salome, and you. And they aren't saying anything. It's up to you to go tell the world that Jesus is alive. And that just doesn't happen in what we say, but it's how we live. Living our lives, walking with Him, a step closer each and every day. Jesus is alive. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we just thank you so much for this tremendous gift, the gift of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We thank you for the gift of resurrection and the knowledge that we have that there is always resurrection available to us. And God, we continue to pray that we would surrender our lives more and more completely to you each and every day, that we might walk with you another step down the road. God, guide us and direct us as we go forth to proclaim your good news to the world, that Jesus lives and reigns with us here today. Amen.